Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to the final hour of a Friday afternoon going into a beautiful fall weekend. The air outside is finally crisp. It feels a little bit like it should in November. It'll probably be 80 degrees again by next week.
But, it's too cold.
It's
way too cold.
My cold-natured brethren here in the studio. Listen, we're going to switch gears right now. I'm going to dipper number three for the day. I call it Fear the Doge. Fear the Doge. There's the amount of fear-mongering and slanderous commentary that is already coming out of the pundits and the leftists about what may or may not happen if Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy are allowed to get their fingers into our governance. Well, listen, perhaps that just means that we needed to cut it down anyway. But somebody who is going to be apparently involved is our own Congressman Gary Palmer, who represents a huge swath of our listening area coming from the Birmingham region. Congressman Palmer is also the original founder of the Alabama Policy Institute, and he now serves ably in Congress, where he has been a member of leadership for a number of years. He's also, by the way, according to a report on 1819 News, a new member of what is being called the Doge Caucus. Congressman Palmer, how are you doing?
I'm good, Phil. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for making time for us today. I know you just got back from D.C. and you're actually on the road, but I appreciate you making time.
Well, I'm glad to do it. You do a great job with your show.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Hey, listen, let me ask you, Congressman, Doge Caucus, Doge in general, is it real or is it going to be a lot of talk? Because I'd hate to see another watchdog that just talks about things and has a social media account. I'd love to see something really occur.
Yeah, I don't think it's a watchdog. I think it's going to be a deep dive into how to bring the federal government into the 21st century. That's part of it. It's going to be a serious evaluation of what the country needs versus what it's getting. And there, a lot of the things that will be evaluated are things that I've been working on for a long time. I think the American public would absolutely be sick to their stomach if they had a full understanding of how much money's wasted. We send out almost $250 billion a year just in improper payments.
Yeah.
And I will remind your listeners that every dollar that's sent out as an improper payment is a borrowed dollar because we've been operating in a deficit, and we're paying interest on that. So I'm pretty excited about this. I think there's some fantastic opportunities here, and I believe Musk and Ramaswamy are the right guys to do it.
Well, I would agree with that. And now let me make sure I'm clear. So what we're talking about with Doge is not a true government department. They're not building new government to fight government. This is going to be an outside entity, but it's going to relate to the ability to feed into the governance, including your caucus, I assume. The information needed to make the cuts they find. Is that correct?
Yeah. Some of this can be done by executive order, I think, but a lot of it, particularly if it involves the downsizing agencies or combining agencies or eliminating agencies, will have to be done through an act of Congress. And I think it's very important that there be consistent, continuous communication between the Musk-Ramaswamy team and members of the House and Senate. And I don't know what the Senate's doing on this, but I think I don't want us to be sitting around waiting for them to send us something.
Right.
I'd rather be working hand-in-hand with them so that when a recommendation is ready to be released, we can, if it's got to go through Congress, we can move quickly to get it in committee, get it out of committee, and get it on the floor and get it over to the Senate.
Now, some things I understand are going to be baked in for a while because Congress has already passed a budget or a CR at the very least, and there are things that have been funded. But we can at least project, you know, non-recurrence of those expenses in the future, I imagine. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't anticipate that a whole lot can be done in terms of getting it in the budget, and but I do think there's some things that can be done before the end of the fiscal year. And definitely, this is teeing everything up for the next fiscal year, which will begin October 1st of next year.
Yeah. Well, and will there be times, I would hope there would be times when we could look at things that can be done simply by executive action. Like if the president decides he has discretion that he can, with a stroke of a pen, end a few things or modify a few things.
I don't know. That's part of the reason why I think the DOGE caucus and maybe even a collaborative caucus or task force between the House and Senate is important, so that as they're making recommendations, we can say, okay, this will have to be done through an act of Congress versus executive action. So not everything's going to be just cut and dry, where the president with a stroke of the pen can make these changes. For instance, the Department of Education didn't exist prior to 1979. That was an act of Congress. Same thing with Homeland Security. And so there's a lot that can be done. I think it's got to include some things like moving the Secret Service back into the Department of Treasury and out of Homeland Security. We see what a mess they've made of that.
Absolutely, yeah.
And maybe have FEMA as the separate agency, not a department, but a separate agency that reports to the president, and get it out of Homeland Security.
Well, and I also look at things too, like the goal to end the Department of Education. I could see that being a DOGE recommendation, and it may have to be phased, but at the very least, I think there's a lot of interest from the outside looking in to something like that happening, like an entire department perhaps being on the chopping block. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that you could basically reduce the Department of Education to workforce development and roll it into commerce. The rest of the money should go to the states. And really, we might even ought to look at using the money for voucher programs. I think there's some things that we need to look at, like in the Department of Labor, and maybe looking at merging energy into the Department of Interior. Because a lot of people think that permitting for energy is in the Department of Energy. It isn't. It's in the Department of Interior.
Yeah.
So we just got a lot of built-in inefficiencies and bureaucracy and red tape that is costing every American family more for everything they come in contact with, their groceries, their household utilities. So I think one of the things that people will get out of this is we're going to see it impacting the cost of living and bringing prices down.
Well, that would be a novel thing. And then, you know, I know that having been at API well before you ever got to the Congress, you've always been an advocate for limited government, which sometimes means limited government regulation or intervention, but sometimes that also means the downsizing or streamlining of government processes. We're hearing right now that there are bureaucrats that are on pins and needles because they're like, oh, we're all going to lose our jobs. But you look at some of them and think, you haven't even reported to the office in person in 3 years. So why are we worried?
Well, they're going to be making arguments for remote work, but the productivity has, I think, declined dramatically.
And yes.
There have been various surveys, Phil, that one, there was a poll taken among EPA staffers, and 80-something percent said it would hurt their mental health if they returned to the office. Well, you've got, I want to say that there was probably 70, close to 80% of the office space in probably agriculture not being used because people aren't showing up. So I think if we start downsizing, if we start relocating agencies and getting them out of Washington,
yeah,
we could have some substantial savings, and that we could sell a lot of this property that we don't need.
No, absolutely. I think that would be an amazing thing. Now, I think I asked you off the air before we got on. I think it's unconfirmed, but it's coming out of Politico, has a report that came out today, says House Oversight Chair James Comer is going to be establishing a subcommittee of House Oversight chaired by Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene that will be the DOGE, basically the DOGE subcommittee. Do you have any knowledge of that?
No, but that would only be a subcommittee under oversight, under the Oversight Committee. oversight has a broad jurisdiction over Congress, but you're going to have whatever the recommendations, whatever they are that come from Musk and Ramaswamy's efforts, the action in Congress will have to go to the committees of jurisdiction, whatever those are.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, I think this is one of those things that has captivated the audience, so to speak. There's very few things I hear about coming out of the election. I mean, you can hear about the southern border, you can hear about the economy, but one of the things that gets a lot of the oxygen is this idea of DOGE. And I think that right now the majority of the constituency in what I would call the red side of politics is keen on the idea of really, really doing this. And so I hope to see this become like true action that we can you know, measure for that matter.
Well, that's our intent, and we're all of the opinion that we've got maybe 18 months.
Yeah.
I think it's 16 to 18 months to get things done, and we're hopeful with the new leadership in the Senate that it's going to be that we're going to work together extremely well, focused on one agenda, and deliver for the American people.
Well, and I look forward to that, and I appreciate the fact that you're there. I've known your work for a number of years. When you were at API and I was still in the state Senate, I relied upon the things that you put out, and I appreciate the fact that we got quick access to you for the show today. But Congressman, keep us posted on DOGE, and as the DOGE caucus develops, I'd love to hear more, okay?
All right. Well, all right. Thanks for having me on, Phil.
Absolutely. Congressman Gary Palmer, appreciate you. Happy Thanksgiving to you, by the way.
Happy Thanksgiving to you.
All right. Take care. All right. We got to take a break. I ran long just to make sure I had as much time with him as I could. But yeah, this is big doings, y'all. This DOGE thing, I think this is starting to rise to the same level as people want to see the border fixed and they want to see, you know, our economy fixed. There are people that also want to see government reined in. And is this the measuring stick? We'll find out. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, we are moving closer to go-home time on a Friday afternoon. I'm in number three of the Triple Dippers. Fear the Doge. Fear the Doge. Listen, the liberal heads are exploding at the idea that someone may jump into their cash cow and change things. Somebody may say something about their people not actually coming to work every day because, you know, it's hard. And you heard Congressman a minute ago, we're talking about them having to actually go back to, like, I don't know, work at the office. Darn. How many of us actually report to work every single day in the private sector? That'd be most. And then on top of that, they're expressing that it might be making creating issues with their mental health. The idea of going to, how about this? We pay for your tax dollar. Our tax dollars pay for your paycheck. Maybe, just maybe, do a good job. Well, I can do a good job in my flannel pants at home every single day for 3 years. It's okay. Nah, it doesn't work like that. It really doesn't. There's a lot to be said for in-person dialogue, people showing up on time, the self-discipline involved with getting up, putting on professional clothing, going and doing something meaningful. Do a good job.
I was gonna say, I feel like it works the opposite way. I think people's mental health gets worse when they don't have a workplace to go to every day and do something meaningful. I know I hated doing like even remote school during COVID. Like I was dying to get back in person.
Yeah. It's
I think they're just but like if that's in the private sector, that's one thing, but like these are this is funded by our money and I don't feel like going to work.
Yeah,
you know?
And I'm not opposed to the idea if something comes up and you have a day when you like as an attorney, there are times when I've got a brief to write. Yeah. I know if I come to the office, I'm going to be interrupted 19 times. So if I take it home with me and work on it and then get it done for a few hours, great. But the next day, I've got a tie on and I'm at work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, It's make that the exception, not the rule.
But we've seen how Elon gutted Twitter when he took it over. I know he's chomping at the bit to do something similar in the government.
I saw a post where someone said, look at Elon. he waxed 90% of the jobs at X and ran it into the ground. And Elon himself retweeted that and said, to be fair, it was only 80%. So I've got a Twitter string here that I found this morning as I was preparing. I've got a whole stack of stuff on this fear of the Doge, but that's what they're doing. The left is trying to create this as the fear-mongering opportunity. It's going to be so bad for you. So I don't know who this guy is. His name is Brian Allen. I don't know that I don't think I've, no, I don't follow him on Twitter. He just wound up in my news feed. I guess he was trending. But Brian Allen did this thread today on all the scary things about Doge. And he's got like 8.7 million views on it. He's got 55,000 likes on the opening tweet. His opening tweet says, I'm not exaggerating when I say this. This could collapse the government within a year. No, no exaggeration at all. He says, Musk and Ramaswamy just dropped their first Doge roadmap. It's a disaster waiting to happen. Here's how they plan to dismantle the federal government step by step. And then he goes through the steps. I'm going to go through the steps with you.
Are
you
ready? Ahead. Yeah.
Brace yourself. It's bad. It's a tsunami of evil. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Number one, plant Doge loyalists in every U.S. agency and then use advanced technology like AI to identify thousands of regulations to slash across the board.
Did he just say Doge loyalists?
Doge loyalists. Doge loyalists.
Okay.
So what does that mean? People who believe in accountability and fiscal conservatism may actually get jobs where they are allowed to look at it and go, we shouldn't spend that money. We shouldn't hire that people.
Using AI as a tool to make our government more efficient, that's going to collapse the government.
If AI can sweep through the thousands of regulations, by the way, if you're a department that has thousands of regulations, maybe you're just writing regulations to justify your own need for existence. Maybe you're enacting regulations so that then you can enforce them, so that you can have something to do to prove why you need to be there, which is called a self-licking ice cream cone.
No, they wouldn't do that.
A self-licking ice cream cone. That's what it is. That's number one on the fear Doge. Number two, hand Trump his hit list of regulations and let him rubber stamp their eliminations with no checks or balances. Bull crap. First of all, if it's a regulation not enacted by Congress, then that's actually what a president does. He chooses to use the stroke of his pen to allow or not allow that thing to occur in the executive branch he's in charge of. That's why he's called a chief executive. I got a string of these. Wait for it. Fear the Doge. Oh my gosh, the end of the world's coming. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, I'm talking about this one. Don't argue with me. It's this one. It's Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Yes, I say that every time. Without notes. It just flows. I think I say it in my sleep.
It comes from the heart.
It comes from the heart. Thank you very much. That was good. Hey, by the way, I got to mention, the numbers keep ticking up, and I love that. A lot of y'all have realized you can stream the show. So, yes, we have wonderful partners that we are on live radio out of multiple markets here in the northern part of the state. And I'm looking forward to seeing whether we have some announcements coming in the near future about that. But that being said, a lot of you are also streaming the show, audio and or video. And you can catch the show. You can go to rightsidemedia.org. That's our website that has everything on it. I'm talking about our written stuff, our podcasts, our live stream show, our recommended reading list, you know, yada, yada, yada. All that stuff's at rightsidemedia.org. And then we've also got the show streaming, like right now, on two X accounts, one for Rightside_media, that's Rightside Media's account. And then we've also got my personal one, at Sen Phil Williams, that's S-E-N Phil Williams. And then we got on Rumble, and then we're on Twitch, and then we're on YouTube, and then we're on, my gosh, name it, we're there.
Yep, and we are 5 subscribers away from 600 subscribers.
Our next goal.
On YouTube. Wouldn't it be great, Phil, if we went into the weekend with 600 subscribers? We're only 5 away from that. That would be awesome.
Did you just guilt trip our audience into
saying
that?
No, I did not.
No, I tell you what, though, it really does mean a lot to our business as we grow this, because Right Side Media is the parent company of Right Side Radio. And so Right Side Media is growing. and we have to hit certain marks to be able to do more. So our goal is to hit 1,000 subscribers next on YouTube, but right now we're just short of 600. So if you go to YouTube, just hit subscribe. That would mean a lot to us. Let me jump back into this this fear of the Doge. Okay, so right now it's going to be the end of our government within a year. It's going to be Doge loyalists in every U.S. agency. Trump's going to be cutting regulations. I love the sound of that, actually. Number three, you ready for this? Gut federal agencies by finding the minimum number of employees needed to function after gutting the regulations. This guy has never run a private sector business.
I was like, don't threaten me with a good time. This all sounds great.
This is like a not only a conservative like view of governance kind of dream. This is how the private sector actually runs.
Mm-hmm. I've yet to hear a bad thing. You know, they're talking about, these are all threats. These all sound great.
This is awful. This is how bad it's going to be for everybody. And I'm like, okay, I like that one. Mm-hmm. I like that one. All right. So if people who have been embedded in the public sector forever, or at the very least who view government as being the end all be all, they don't get it when you say, we'd rather be able to get more done with less, because that's called efficiencies. When you look for efficiencies, I mean, okay, how many times have you been down to the DMV to get your, you know, your driver's license and you realize how inefficient government is, right? How many times have you looked at the fact that we now have, think about it, the U.S. Postal Service used to be the thing. That's how you got hard mail from one place to the other. Now it's got FedEx, Amazon, USPS has got competition with, DHL. I mean, why is that? Oh, that's because government wasn't doing as good a job as the private sector. And all these companies that now deliver packages reared up and began doing a better job. How about this? Next on the list of the bad things that are going to happen when they fear the Doge. Number four, lay off federal workers en masse with promises of severance packages and early retirement incentives. Okay, that's called natural attrition, y'all. That's called natural. It's called, first of all, if your job is not proving its worth, then yeah, you may have to go. And if you're offered an early retirement incentive, that means you're going to get an early retirement that you wouldn't have gotten before. It's called a benefit. Okay, anyway, next, ACTS programs. Here's the next one. ACTS programs that Congress hasn't reauthorized, like the VA healthcare and NASA and anti-poverty initiatives, critical services that millions rely on. First of all, no, not going to happen. But secondly, read that again. ACTS programs that Congress hasn't reauthorized. Huh. So let me get this straight. Because Congress didn't actually pass a budget and authorize a massive expenditure for a section of government, you think it should exist anyway. Pretty sure that's not the way this works. Listen.
Sounds like common sense.
Yeah. Plus, I'll be honest with you, on the other side, you're not going to see VA healthcare go away. You're not going to see Medicare go away. You're not going to see food stamps and all these things go. It's not going to happen. Number six, you ready for this? Pause federal payments for large-scale audits with zero clarity on what that even means. Okay, wait a minute. Are you saying we're not allowed to review the books? Is that what you're saying?
Don't look into how we're spending the money, please.
Are you saying when the U.S. Air Force pays $1,000 for a toilet seat that we're not allowed to ask questions? Is that what you're saying? Because I am pretty sure this guy, Brian Allen, does not have a clue. Number seven, are you ready for this? Fear of the Doge. Invoke presidential authority to block spending without congressional approval, openly defying the 1974 budget law on impoundments. He has no idea what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Let me point something out. If you invoke presidential authority, that means there's authority that can be invoked. Point one. If you do so to block spending without congressional approval, that means the congressional approval wasn't necessary in the first place. Therefore, it is the president's purview to do these things because he's the chief freaking executive. Openly defying the 1974 budget law on impoundments, the president will not defy the law. He's going to be operating within the confines of the law. Period. He ends by saying the entire scheme bypasses Congress and counts on fighting challenges in court. Actually, no. I'm looking at an article right here from Politico. Phil, did you go to Politico? I did. Politico. House Oversight plans a new subcommittee to coordinate Doge efforts. House Oversight Committee Chair James Comer intends to establish a new subcommittee next year led by none other than Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene. She's going to wear somebody out.
She will do for sure.
In fact, I've got one. Here it is. Marjorie, in fact, I've got a follow-up article. I've got two follow-up articles. Marjorie Taylor Greene, Fox News, Dateline yesterday. I would love to. House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer, yada, yada, again planning to it. And he says, Representative Tim Burchett from Tennessee says Marjorie would take no prisoners. He said, I would love to be on that committee. Representative Anna Paulina Luna from Florida says, good for her. I think she'll basically be an immovable object on some of the spending cuts that we need. As to her own bid for a spot, Luna says, we're going to make a push right now. In other words, they want to be a part of this. Please, like, don't throw me in that briar patch. Okay, and then how about this? Marjorie Taylor Greene on MSN. Phil, did you go to MSN? I did. Firebrand Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene warned Dr. Anthony Fauci, the chief medical advisor to the president during the COVID-19 pandemic, that she's going to have subpoena power soon.
Uh-oh.
Listen, that's what we're talking about. We don't want half measures. What's the line? Okay, what's the line from the movie Gladiator? The time for half measures and talk is over, Senator. Yes. Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we know about this committee? What's it going to be? Well, as they fear the Doge, what is it really going to be? Well, so Elon Musk is actually hiring. I pulled this off of WJHL, which is local news in Texas. Just days after being tapped to co-lead the Department of Government Efficiency, Elon Musk is now searching for high IQ individuals willing to work long hours to join the task force, but it may not even come with a paycheck. In other words, what he wants is committed people who are smart and deep thinkers, willing to work long hours to go at it and like go at it hard. I wonder if he needs a radio show.
I know one.
I just. All right.
He can come on. We can have an Elon segment every week. He can come on and give the briefings on the Doge.
You know, I feel a segment coming on. We'll call it the Doge Dipper. We'll have a special segment. We need a sound effect for it.
Yeah, we do, actually.
All right. We actually need a Doge sound effect anyway. At 4:44 p.m. on my anniversary, 11/22/2024, I went ahead and openly volunteered Right Side Media to be part of the voice of Doge.
There we go. Elon, if you're watching this on your own platform of X, just take a note of that. Make a mental note of that.
I'm for it. You know what? We're already here every day anyway. Mm. Come join the fun. That's what I say. Jump on in where you can, Sheriff, and hang on. Yeah, so just days after being tapped, he is looking for people. President-elect Donald Trump announced on last Tuesday, that Musk and former GOP candidate Vivek Ramaswamy will spearhead the department. Musk said it's going to send shockwaves through the system. Anyone involved in government waste, which is a lot of people. Now, it's not real clear how it's going to work, but what Musk did say in a task force post, he said, we need super high IQ small government revolutionaries willing to work 80-plus hours a week on unglamorous cost-cutting. Now, they won't be the government, right? They won't be the government. They will be an outside entity that is providing assistance to government at no cost to government, without being government, unfettered by a government, not unionized, able to get something done, but they'll also have the weight of government saying, give them the information they're asking for, or I will come down there, says President Trump. Marjorie Taylor Greene will have subpoena power. She can pull that together. In fact, what's going to wind up happening, I guarantee you, is this. Musk and Ramaswamy and whoever they appoint to be their executive director is going to say, we've been working with this department and this department. They've been very helpful, but this department over here won't give us what we need. And Marjorie Taylor Greene will go, I'll take care of that.
Mm-hmm.
And she'll subpoena them to come appear before a congressional committee, at which point they'll have to because she has subpoena power. And then, oh, by the way, it'll be made known to President Trump, and he'll look at it and go, hey, Department of so-and-so, how bad do you want to keep your job? And that's what I think is going to happen.
And by the way, if you talk about cutting regulations and gutting the government and cutting out what's unnecessary in the government and how that's going to destroy the government. If you look, Javier Milei, the new president of Argentina, which we've talked about, is the poster boy of
Afuerte!
Afuerte! This comes in and he cuts everything that needs to be cut and is inefficient. Well, Argentina, in the third quarter, they raised their GDP 8.5%, which is one of the highest in the world. And JP Morgan said the optimism around recent reforms by President Milei is the reason for such rapid growth. So evidence proves that it doesn't destroy the government. It actually helps it tremendously. So
I want Javier Milei to be the governor of Alabama.
Yeah, exactly.
Can we arrange that?
Just come on in.
All said and done, every one of these resources, you hear me rattling the paper. If you want to read up on all this stuff, I've done all the research to pull together a huge stack that I'm not even going to get to all of it on Doge and what they're doing. And you can go to the rightsidemedia.org website on the live stream page. There's a button right above our shining faces as we talk to you on the live stream. It says resources. Click on it. It takes you to everything that we've got for today, right? All right, good.
It does. Oh, and by the way, I can't, before we go to break, I got to mention we broke 600 subscribers on YouTube. We are at 607 now. So
y'all are awesome people.
They deserve a round of applause for
y'all. Y'all are awesome people. We're heading to 1,000. I feel it coming, man, within weeks. We may have to have one of those bets like we did back in the old days with when Boomer and I were here.
Yeah, how long it'll take.
We have this thing where whoever nailed the date and number got to sit and eat maple bacon donuts while the other person did push-ups in the studio.
We may have to do something like that.
I'm the old guy. Take it easy on me. All right, listen, we're taking a break right now. Friday afternoon. Fear the Doge. Fear the Doge. Fear the Doge. I don't fear the Doge. I'm pretty stoked. I'm going to be the voice piece of Doge. I'm the Doge spokesman. I'm for it. We'll be right back.